All right, as promised, we're joined by Austin Budke, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Austin, of course, on the floor the other night in that 90-88 loss to KU at Allen Fieldhouse, and Austin with 5 points and a big time three from the corner in the first half. And Austin is with us. Austin, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Wade. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking the time to join us here today. So we just want to talk about your childhood days, and we want to talk about how daycare was, if you went to daycare when you were younger. And we just totally avoid that game on Tuesday night because it didn't happen, right?
No, I've talked about it enough. I think I can talk about it on the radio.
Oh, you will? Okay, all right, all right. Well, let's get a player's perspective on this. How many steps did you think Svi Mykhailiuk actually took when you saw it live from the bench?
I couldn't tell from my angle at the end of the bench, because I saw him take on the court, and then I saw Wes, because Wes was trailing the play. I saw him kind of poke his hand in there and try to tip it from behind. And then I saw him pick the ball up from there, and you know, from my angle at the end of the bench, it was more like I was like behind him. I wasn't on the side, and it just, you know, I definitely could tell, you know, that he kind of took too many. I didn't know how bad it was, you know, or whatever. And obviously he made it. You know, it all happened so fast, you know, in real life, you know, because I was, you know, it's just everything's moving so fast. But it wasn't until after, you know, I saw it. Saw it, you know, the replay, that, you know, said it was like, wow.
Well, I we overheard a KU fan yesterday talking about how the game goes so fast. That's why the officials missed a four-step travel. I can understand it from your viewpoint where you're at. You might be blocked off from the bench area because you're opposite end of the court where this happened. But for three officials to be there on the court with no obstructions in front of them, it's hard to believe that the player moved too.
Yeah.
I will say, when you don't dribble the ball, you do move faster. Is that not true?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes I think the referees just get caught up and, you know, they don't want to, you know, there's the old saying, you know, let the players play at the end of the game, you know, don't make a call that, make the deciding factor in the outcome of the game, you know, let the players play. That's why you see a lot of no call fouls, you know, at the end of the game and stuff. And so, you know, I don't really know. I think the Big 12 came out with a statement and said it's a judgment call, and they all three, you know, made the judgment that I wasn't a travel. You know, I really don't know. I haven't, you know, looked into too much and everything. But yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that's kind of unfortunate. You know, like I said, I in real life, you know, from my angle, I could definitely tell that he was, you know, taking, you know, a few too many steps, but you know, that's just how it goes, I guess.
I guess so, and you can't change it, and you don't want to dwell on it, because if you dwell on it, then that could turn into another loss or whatever the case may be. But let's talk about the game instead of that last call. Let's talk about the game the other night, because you know, I'm going to be upfront with you, and I'm going to tell you there were some K-State fans that, knowing the history of what you guys had done at Allen Fieldhouse, there was a few jokes out there about how, hope it's just a close game at halftime. Nobody was talking about you guys winning that game. It was so there was even jokes that go as far as should save gas money and just wait till they come to Manhattan, which I'm sure you get a good kick out of. But here's the thing. History is all nice and dandy, but what happened last year shouldn't affect you this year. You have some different faces on your team. It's not the exact same players last year for both teams, KU or K-State. And you guys, the key, it seems to be in Allen Fieldhouse, is you need to avoid getting buried early. And you guys avoided that. In fact, you had an early 8-point lead, and you were a part of that coming off the bench and knocking down a 3-pointer. Is that one of the bigger things when you go into Allen Fieldhouse preparing for KU? Is it approached a little bit differently than other venues you go to, or is it every venue where coach says, "Hey, we got to jump out and be ready to go. Let's not get buried early. Let's play well and not be playing from behind."
Yeah, you know, KU, you got to give them credit. They've created a tradition, you know, at Allen Fieldhouse where, you know, it's obviously tough to win there. I mean, what is it, like 50 straight home wins or something like that, which is just outstanding. You know, and, you know, for us, you know, we kind of talk about, you know, even last year we were a really young team, and we had just gotten a couple injuries. I think Kamal had just, you know, tore his knee or whatever the game before, so we were without him. And we went in there against a really, really, really good KU team with Perry and, you know, all those guys. And, you know, people forget that last year we probably played one of the best games that we had played. And we were, you know, we were winning the whole first half. And, you know, they made the run at the very end of the first half and, you know, hit that three and stuff. And then, you know, in the second half, we pulled within two in the second half. And then, you know, they kind of pulled away. And, you know, just, it was like, I think it was like a 15, you know, point game at the end. But, you know, it was a lot closer than that. And, you know, I always say the key, you know, for us in the last 2 years of how we played so well is, you know, like you said, you know, just keep the crowd out of the game, you know, keep it, you know, make it like a normal game. You know, both years, I feel like we've came out and, you know, we've just kind of asserted ourselves and said, hey, we're not going to, you know, like you said, we're not just going to get buried right away. You know, we're here to play. And, you know, you kind of, you just, you know, okay, they're going to make their runs, you know, they're going to hit their threes and the crowd's going to go crazy. But as long as you come back and respond and kind of quiet the crowd down, you know, you give yourself a chance. You know, that's the one thing. You just can't come out and, you know, they hit three threes and then you get tight and you start jacking up shots, missing and, you know, missing your defensive assignments, and then the crowd gets into it, and then all of a sudden that 6-0 run that they just started turns into a 16-0 run. And so both years, I think we've done a pretty good job, you know, of slowing that down. And I think that's why we've been in the games both years that I've played there.
What was the talk? How did the conversation go when you guys were drawing up that last play? The game's tied 88-88. And for crying out loud, you have a chance to knock off the number three team in the country in their house, where basically nobody expected you guys to even have a chance, let alone have the ball in a tie game and in a possession with under 30 seconds to play. What was the feeling and the talk there in the huddle and the play that you guys were trying to run?
To be completely honest, and towards the end of the game, it was so loud, and, you know, everyone told around coach that if you were 3 feet away from him, you couldn't hear him. So I just kind of, I was floating on the outside talking to the assistant coaches. I don't know what play they drew up, but, you know, Wes had just gotten, you know, two or three buckets right before that. You know, Dean had obviously just been killing the entire game. And so, you know, I knew, you know, whatever they drew up, it was going to be all right. And we actually got a great look. Wes came off a ball screen from Dean. Dean flipped it. They both converged onto Wes because he had just hit two shots, and Dean was wide open. I mean, Dean shoots a three, you know, at the top of the key. Some people probably don't know how good of a shooter Dean is, but I see Dean in practice every single day. I will take Dean shooting a wide open three at the top of the key for a game winner over any other shot, you know, on our team. So, I mean, I think that goes in 8 out of 10 times. You know, unfortunately for us, it didn't go in that time. And then we had an opportunity to get the offensive rebound. And, you know, that's just in a game like that, a game like that where, you know, every play matters. You know, that last play, obviously, if we can go back, you know, I wish it would have happened. But, I mean, anybody who criticizes that last play, you know, they just don't know what they're talking about. Because, I mean, Dean is probably one of our best shooters on our team. You get a wide open look at the top of the three. You know, we had guys in position to get offensive rebounds. You know, I don't care what the outcome was. I will take that play over anything that we could have gotten.
Well, I agree with you. When you have a good three-point shooter, has a wide open look at the top of the key, and he just left it a hair short. I mean, you'll take that look. That you always say, hey, that was a good shot. It just didn't go down. Sometimes it will, and probably later this year it will for him and for your basketball team. Now, I heard this yesterday for the first time, I'm interested to know if the coaches talked to you about this, but they try to clean up the game. The officials trying to clean up the game, make it a little more free-flowing, and we've noticed that there's higher-scoring basketball games. Part of that is because there's more fouls called, and then there's more free-throw attempts. But I heard yesterday, and I was not aware of this, that there is an emphasis on traveling. There's a bigger emphasis on traveling this year across the country and apparently in the Big 12 as well. Have the coaches talked to you guys about the traveling emphasis?
Not that I know of. Every year, the NCAA releases a video of new rules and new emphasis that they put on. And I know last year was, you know, the first year of the 30-second shot clock and the first year of the, you know, impeding the movement and everything. So we had to watch like a 30-minute video on new rules and new things. And this year the video was a lot shorter. I don't think they didn't really put an emphasis on traveling. My 2 years I've been in Division I basketball, I think for the most part they've done a pretty good job of recognizing travelings and stuff. I mean, it's not like the NBA where, you know, you could basically just do whatever you want, and as long as the crowd isn't yelling at you, you know. But I don't know. No, they haven't said anything about that. I mean, obviously there's a lot of emphasis on other things, like you said, you know, freedom of movement and stuff, but not traveling that I know of.
Austin Budke, member of the K-State men's basketball team, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs. Let's talk about your role on the team. This is your senior season. Last year, of course, you played a big role in this team coming off the bench. And then early this year, not getting nearly as much playing time. But now, because of a couple different circumstances, one player leaving the program, another suspended, you're getting an opportunity to play a little bit more, kind of like you did last year. Tell us how your role has been a little bit different this year compared to last year. And then where you stand now on the team?
Yeah, I mean, this year, you know, the last few games, I've got to play a lot more. It's nice because I feel like I'm finally playing like I did, at the beginning of the season last year. I feel like at the beginning of the season last year and towards the middle of conference, I really was playing well. I was coming in, I was playing with a lot of confidence. And then with about 5 or 6 games left in the season, I got a really, really bad foot injury. Which a lot of people don't know because, you know, I didn't really tell anyone and didn't miss any games or anything. But I messed my foot up pretty bad, and towards the end of the season last year, it was to the point where I was basically playing games with a cast on my foot. You know, I had so much tape and everything on there that I couldn't even move my foot. And to be honest, it was one of those things that, you know, just impeded my movement and everything so much that, you know, I felt like when I was going into games towards the end of the season, I was going in with a mindset just to not mess up. You know, I wasn't trying to do anything good. I was just trying not to do anything bad. And, anybody will tell you that's the worst way to play, you know, basketball. You want to go in there and you want to be confident. And, with my foot and everything last year, I just felt like I wasn't playing that way. And so this year, you know, I told myself, you know, I got my foot healed up and I'm feeling good physically. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to play like I did at the beginning of the season last year. You know, Coach Weber, you know, always tells the guys that, you know, if you come off the bench and you get in the game and you think the only thing you can do good for the team is score, and you just press the whole game to score and do stuff like that, then you're not going to play well. But if you come off the bench and you just tell yourself, just play hard, do the dirty work, get rebounds, take charges, do stuff like that, then other things will come for you. And that's what I've been doing lately, you know, just come off the bench and say, hey, if I get a wide open shot, I'll shoot it. But I'm not going to go out there, you know, trying to, you know, be my main mindset to score, you know, rebound, play defense, take charges, and the points will come to you. And, I mean, I think KU's a pretty good, you know, idea of that. You know, I played 13 minutes off the bench and, you know, scored 5 points, and I didn't have to do anything to get those 5 points. You know, I had a wide open three and then 2 free throws, you know, and so that's how I've been, you know, trying to play this year, and it's been worked out pretty well.
I know you're not Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth called his shot. He's known for his famous calling his shot. But I was listening to the broadcast on the network after the Colorado State game, and you hit a three-pointer that gave your team the lead for good. And Coach Weber said in the post-game interview with Wyatt and Stan that you had called your shot, that when you in warm-up or shoot-around or whatever it was, you said you were going to make a three in that game. Is that true, or is Coach Weber just making up stuff?
I don't remember me saying it, but
it was somebody else, and you got it confused with you.
Well, I know for a fact, I probably shouldn't say this, but Drew Spira, our director of basketball operations, the day before the Colorado State game, we were walking down the street. There's a little shopping mall outside of our hotel. It's an outdoor shopping mall, and it was me and a couple of the players and a couple of the coaching staff. And I remember Drew Spira saying something like, you know, Budke, I got 10 bucks on you in a three tomorrow. I said, what? And he's like, you're good for 1 3. And he kept saying it. And I was like, all right, whatever. And I remember hitting that three and walking back, and I could hear him on the bench saying, I told you guys, I told you. He's always good for one, you know. So he probably got me confused with Drew, because I know for a fact Drew Spira, our director of basketball ops, he was banking on me hitting a three. So
did he have money on you to make one there against KU?
I don't know about that. But
yeah, yeah, it didn't go that far, huh? I see. Well, it was a heck of a nice shot, man. You just lined it up like you'd been playing the whole game and nothing but nylon. That was a beautiful shot you had in the corner on the pick and roll. Okay, upcoming, you've got Oklahoma coming into town tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Oklahoma's been struggling, but as we've been talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks every week, and other guests covering the Big 12, really, you know, everybody's looking at Kansas as a team to beat, of course, and why wouldn't they be? They've won 12 titles in a row. West Virginia's really good. Baylor looks to maybe will be the number one team come Monday if they win against Oklahoma State tomorrow. And then it seems like the consensus is everywhere from 4 to 10 could kind of be a crapshoot. It could be, you know, you guys could finish 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it might be. Everybody's evenly matched. Is that how you guys see it? Is that every game is going to be a dogfight and that you could probably win any game? If you can go to Lawrence and almost win, I would say you could win any game if you're at K-State this year, but you also could lose any game because of the parity.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the Big 12 that I think kind of separates the Big 12 from, you know, every conference in the country. You know, obviously, like the ACC and the Big 10, you know, they're great conferences, and they have great teams up top. But I feel like the Big 12 is just one of those things where there's no easy wins. There's no games where you just come out and you say, okay, well, you know, we're going to win this game. Obviously, this team is, you know, 0-10 league, and, you know, we'll just get this game and focus on the next one. And it's been like that for the last few years. We played Texas the first game of the conference. I mean, they were 6-6. They had just lost, you know, two home games to mid-major teams, you know, struggling really bad. And we had to fight all the way to the end to beat them. And that's just the way the conference goes. Everyone in the conference knows your plays, everyone scouts. The records can just be thrown out the window. I mean, we play Oklahoma on Saturday. I think they have 6 or 7 losses. But, you know, we have to treat them, you know, just like KU. And that's the thing about college basketball. You know, we had that tough loss to KU on Tuesday night, and we had to come right back on Wednesday and start watching film, you know, on Oklahoma. Because, you know, the one game, especially in the Big 12, the one game that you don't take as serious or you don't watch as much film or you don't prepare as well, you come out flat. And, you know, like you said, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, anybody could beat you that night. And, you know, for me, that's exciting. I love games. I was ready to get into conference. You know, non-conference is just, you know, playing all those smaller teams is nice and everything. But, you know, for me, I love conference games, you know, knowing that you got to come out and play your best if you want to get a win. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for what we can do. You know, like you said, we played with KU and Allen Fieldhouse. So, you know, I think that gave fans a little bit of a taste of what we're capable of. Now we just got to go out there and show that we are capable of it.
All right, you're a senior. Your major is chemical engineering. It sounds way too smart for me, so I'm not going to ask you how that all works. But I will ask you, what are your future plans after your basketball career here?
Right now, I'm not really sure. I recently just accepted an internship to Phillips 66. They have a oil refinery in Ponca City, Oklahoma. And I'll be working there all summer as a midstream engineer. So that'll be a cool experience, kind of get a taste of what chemical engineering is. You know, I've been playing basketball my whole life, so I haven't really had a chance to, you know, go out there and get an engineering job. You know, so I really don't know what it's like. So I'm excited for that, to kind of get some experience on what being a chemical engineer is like. And then after that, you know, it's just kind of up for grabs. I've thought about, you know, maybe pursuing coaching. But I was just telling Ryan Eiler and Eric Eilert this the other day that I don't think I have good enough patience for coaching. I don't know how they do it, you know. But I thought about that. I don't really know. You know, I think, you know, next year during the school year, I'll start, you know, interviewing for jobs and stuff, and we'll just kind of see where it takes me.
All right. I was just looking at your bio here. You were born August 24th, 1994. That was the year I graduated high school. Wow, that just sunk into me when I read that. That's great. Of course, the other night I was doing the high school basketball game in Beloit and Phillipsburg on the radio while you were battling out against KU and Lawrence. And much like your game, the girls' game that your sister was playing in, Carly, your younger sister, was a barn burner. Have you heard about how close that Phillipsburg-Beloit girls' game? It was really about as competitive as the KU-K-State game. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, my dad mentioned something to me about it. I didn't get to, you know, go into depth on, you know, all the details, you know, because of the circumstances of our game. But he told me it was a close one. I guess I didn't ask him if there, you know, all the controversy. That he
all you need to know, it was 39-0 midway through the third quarter.
Wow.
Have you ever seen a game at any level 39-0?
Maybe on Twitter or ESPN. Or
yeah, but not in person. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, man, a couple off-the-wall questions before we let you go. I always appreciate the time. Now that the whole traveling thing that happened with Svi, you probably at times have been on the bench and or maybe pregame warm-ups or whatever it might be or after the game. You've probably looked up in the stands at some point or another, and you've probably seen some creative signs, I'm guessing, at some point. At time, whether it's at home or on the road, what's the best sign or the funniest thing you've seen in a crowd since you've started playing at K-State?
That's a good question. There was a lot of good signs at KU. They're always good for a few funny signs in the student section. I'm trying to think of a specific one. There was one that I saw some girl had that said, things K-State has taken from me or something, or things I've taken from K-State. I can't remember what it said. And it listed a few things. So the last one was my tuition, and then underneath it said hashtag #transferred. So I thought that was kind of neat. I don't know. You know, every Bramlage. You know, the signs basically consist of I heart Dean, will you marry me, Dean? Stuff like that. You know, everyone loves Dean, but. You know, KU, I feel like, was our first true road game where, you know, there were signs, and, you know, I probably should have paid more attention to them. But, yeah, there was a lot of good ones. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Where's the love for Austin Butke? I heart Dean? Where's the I heart Austin? I thought they had a few of those signs last year. The fans like you, man.
I know. I give Dean probably too much credit. You know, there's a few I heart Austins out there, but, you know, for the most part, I think Dean's the pretty boy out there. At least I like to say. I like, you know, Doug Gottlieb called me on the broadcast of the Colorado State game. He said I was a lumberjack. So I'd rather be a lumberjack than, you know, a pretty boy or whatever. So
nice.
I'll take that.
I must say, I've seen you play before. I've never thought of you as a lumberjack, but that's interesting.
That's kind of what I thought, but I'll take whatever I can get.
Yeah, you know, you and I have both been called worse, I'm sure. And then finally, the best song... The best walk or traveling song? The best song that mentioned something about walking or traveling?
Oh, I don't even want to get into that.
Come on, man. I got one for you. I'll help you answer it.
You tell me, and I'll, 'cause I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Give me Three Steps by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay. Except I think it was maybe a little more than Three
right,
Steps.
Right, right. And so, and even Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks with us yesterday, he even admitted, he goes, he had the same question for him, and he says, give me Three Steps with Lynyrd Skynyrd. We go, yes, that's the same one we had the day before. And he goes, or Four Steps. Well, I tell you what, you guys gave him a heck of a game the other night. It was the thing I was really mad about at the end, and I'm sure you guys were upset probably, and the team was frustrated that didn't get called. But at the end of the day, to me, the biggest problem was all of us fans, KU and K-State fans, were robbed of overtime in what was a great basketball game. And for your final question before I let you go, what was Coach Weber's message to you guys in the locker room after that disappointing way for that game to end after you guys had played so well?
You know, the coaching staff knew that, they knew in a tough game like that, you know, we were going to be, you know, emotional, you know, and stuff. And I think they were really focused on, you know, we couldn't change it. There's nothing we could do. You know, we can't go out there, you know, they didn't call it. You know, it's just how it goes. And, you know, I was just kind of what I was talking about the Big 12 earlier. They know that, you know, if we just sit in there and sulk about this loss and everything, you know, and we just keep getting frustrated about this, then we're going to come out, you know, flat on Oklahoma. And so they came in the locker room and, you know, they just said, hey, you know, great game. You guys played hard. You guys did everything you needed to win. You know, sucks we didn't get the call, but we got to move on. We got to move forward. And that's what they really emphasized because, you know, in conference like the Big 12, like I said, you think about one game too much and you don't take the next one seriously. And next thing you know, and you're catching a loss at home that you shouldn't be taking. So, you know, that's what they really emphasize. And, you know, like I said, we came back next day and started getting prepared for Oklahoma. We watched a little bit of film on the KU game and kind of see what we did right, what we did wrong. But for the most part, they really wanted us to, you know, obviously it was a tough loss and, you know, we're going to be thinking about it in the back of our minds, but not just to let us sulk and, you know, not be prepared for Oklahoma.
Austin Budke, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Austin, we always appreciate the time, and we've truly, it's been our pleasure to cover you there in high school, Beloit High School, and then to watch your career progress from Hutchinson and then to K-State there in Manhattan. And best of luck in all your future endeavors, man, and don't be a stranger. And maybe we'll even talk again before the season's over. Best of luck the rest of the year, and best of luck against Oklahoma tomorrow afternoon.
Yep, awesome. Thanks, Wade. Appreciate it.
That's Austin Budke, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.